1 Corinthians chapter 10, begin reading with verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now, if you stop right there, that sounds like a good verse, doesn't it? I'm going after your money. But that's not what he's saying, obviously. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. I'm not going to preach this morning in the traditional sense of the word. If you're expecting me to yell and scream and whatever like usual, hope I'm a little more reserved this morning. In thinking of verse 31, Paul said, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I think that if I were to ask each of you who are here, if you desired to bring honor and glory to God through your life, I'm sure that almost every one of us would say absolutely yes. I don't think there's a person here who would say, I do not want to glorify God. Now, we might not all agree on how to get to that point, but we would all agree that we want to. I can't speak for all of you, but I can speak for myself. I get so mad, so disgusted with myself, because I find myself doing so many things that I can't honestly say are for the glory of God. I find myself failing in a million thousand ways every day. Even when I think I'm trying to live for the glory of God, before I can bat my eyes twice, I'm doing something contrary to God's word. Now, let me say right up front, the sermon today is aimed at me. I'm not speaking to any of you. Any similarities means you're cursed with the same plague I'm cursed with. I'm going to allow you this morning to listen in on a private conversation with myself. You'll understand as I get into it a little more. For several months, actually for quite some time, I've been praying and asking God to use me more than He has. I've been seeking and trying to live more and more for the glory of God. That's my genuine desire. I used to say, if I know my heart, I want to live for God. And then I found that verse that said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So I can't even say that anymore. But I do truly want to serve God. So why do I fail so often? I've been trying to examine that self, and I've asked God to speak to me, not audibly, but through His Word, to help me to find out what my problem is, that when I want to serve God, I fail so miserably. Most of my points are aimed directly at me, some indirectly, but all of them are things that I struggle with. Let me say right up front, and I put this in my notes so I don't forget it, I am certified crazy. Right, Brother Ron? Okay. I'm certified crazy. No ifs, no ands. And as I look at some of the things that bother me, you'll say, you are crazy, aren't you? Yeah, I am. I don't know how to overcome this battle. Brother Hamill said to the night, I can. Somebody told me I was to be perfect. Then last night we heard that we're to be holy. And you guys just really made me feel even worse than ever before, because no matter how hard I strive, I keep failing and failing and failing. As I said, we all say we want the glory of God. I said it for years, and I really meant it when I said it. But I kept falling flat on my face. I want to serve God. I begin asking myself, is there something wrong with me? Or do others struggle the same way that I struggle? Lord, it must be me, because surely nobody else has the failure rate that I have in wanting to glorify God. I don't pretend to have all the answers. But I want to raise some questions this morning. And by God's grace, maybe we can work together to find the answers, so that as we leave here, we can leave here with a greater desire that whatsoever I do, I want to do it to the glory of God. Amen. When I begin looking at myself, trying to find out why I fail, I discovered that sometimes I fail because I have a real problem with pride. Amen. I said, I've never done it before. I'm going to bare my soul this morning and show you the inner workings of me. And if you hate me afterwards, I understand. I hated myself when I got through, but maybe the rest of you don't struggle with this problem as much as I do. But have you ever preached and had liberty and freedom, and you could just feel the Spirit of God, and you had power, and you stepped down from the pulpit and said, boy, that was good? Do you ever do that? That moment, I just went from serving for the glory of God to being lifted up with pride. Amen. Even when I do something right, and I do it for the right reason, in the right manner, before I can know what's happening, pride has crept in and spread its poison throughout my mind. And I find myself falling short of the glory of God. As I was typing my notes the other night, getting ready to come, I'm crazy, that's why I told you up front. Even the very fact that I am willing to admit that I have a problem with pride makes me proud that I'm willing to admit it. You're laughing. I bet you're guilty too, aren't you? You know, I'm more spiritual than you are because I'm willing to admit that I have a pride problem. Now you see why I struggle so much. This is not something, I mean, it's funny, but that's a major war that I encounter daily, minute by minute. And I asked myself, what do I have to be proud of? Nothing. I'm a sinner. I'm a bigger sinner than any of you here even dream of. My wife doesn't even know the depths of my sin. Why am I proud? How does Satan succeed in hitting me so easily with this thing of being lifted up with pride over something that I have no right to be proud of? I struggle with that. I do. And if you don't, if you've reached the point that you never struggle with that, please let me know your secret, because I have a major war. Secondly, and y'all are not going to believe this one, but I have a real problem with jealousy. I said, you? What have you got to be jealous of? I mean, I'm perfect. I'm good looking. I'm intelligent. I'm charming. I've got, you know, everything you could ask for. Why would I be jealous of any of y'all? But it creeps in. I want to be used of God. I say that with all sincerity. I want God to use me. I want to do all things for the glory of God. I desire to see people saved. I desire to see our church grow. And I know that it's all in God's sovereign hands. But I want to see people saved. And I want to see our church grow. But when God saves somebody and adds them to your church, I'm a better preacher than they are. Why are they growing and I'm not? I'm better looking. I'm more intelligent. I'm a better preacher. I've got a better outline. And you know what? If I'm not careful, jealousy sneaks in. I had a preacher call me a week or so ago. And he was just on cloud nine. I mean, God is blessing his church. His church is growing. People are being added. God is blessing. And honestly and truly, I really honestly was able to rejoice with him. I was really happy for him that God is blessing him and his church is growing. And I meant it when I said, I'm thrilled for you. But I hung up the phone, and you know what? It wasn't very long until, guess what? No, it wasn't jealousy. I was proud of the fact that I wasn't jealous. Now you know why my psychiatrist has so many problems with me. When I'm jealous, there's no way on earth that I'm doing it for the glory of God. When I'm jealous, I'm not concerned that God is exalted. I'm jealous because deep down inside, I want to be exalted. And it's not fair that you're being blessed and I'm not. I know I believe the sovereignty of God, but if God is sovereign, he ought to bless me, not you. see the struggle I got? But my third point, and this is the one I'm going to spend most of my time on. Sometimes I don't do things for the glory of God because for all of my talk and all of my thinking, deep down inside, I really lack a true biblical love. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you're a 5-point Calvinist." If you're a Landmark Baptist. If you're closed communion. No, what he said was, "By this shall all men, saved and lost," and I'll touch on that in a minute, "saved people and lost people will look at you and know that ye are my disciple if you have love one for another." Mark 12:31, Jesus said again, "The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." I preached a couple of messages a few weeks ago at our church on this thing of love and works and so forth. And in studying for those messages, I had a real hard time because so many times we go to the Bible, and I say we, I'm talking to myself. I go to the Bible and I tell God what he meant rather than letting God tell me what he said. And I get in trouble when I do that. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Well, yes, Lord, I know that's what you said, but I know what you meant. I used the parable of the Good Samaritan. And if you really want to start tearing some scripture out, that's a good one to tear out. Because the guy going down, the Samaritan, I'm sure he had time constraints, he had things to do, places to be. But he went down, he identified with a man in the ditch. He got down in the ditch with the man. I'm sure he probably got bloody. "I've got a son that's a policeman, a son that's a fireman, and accidents and shootings and beatings. There's blood and all kinds of gooey, gory stuff." And he was willing to get his clothes dirty and whatever else, climbing down, working with the guy, and then picking him up. Have you ever picked up a bloody mess and, you know, the blood and gore and, ooh, I don't want to get bloody, and put him on his own donkey, and he walked while this guy rode and carried him to the inn and took money out of his own pocket and paid for his care. And Jesus said, "Go thou and do likewise." Now, I told somebody last night, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I would rather hug somebody than fight any day. And I think that I'm a fairly good person when it comes to loving others. I probably have got most of you beat. But when Jesus said the parable of the Good Samaritan and said, "You've not succeeded with biblical love till you reach that level," I have to say, Lord, I don't love at all. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "We're to love one another as I have loved you." That's another one I'd like to cut out. Now, I love you, most of you, but I don't love you like Jesus loves you.
Amen. Right.
You know, I'm supposed to be doing whatsoever I do for the glory of God. And part of what he said is you're to love one another just like I loved you. And I have to say, guilty. I don't do that. I don't love Brother Jerry like God loves me. I asked Brother Jerry before we started, I said, I want to use you as an illustration. Without knowing what I was going to say or do, he is so ignorant that he said, fine, fine, go ahead. I think everybody knows me. I regard Brother Asbury as one of my best friends, literally. I've only got two, so he's in the top two friends I've got. I count him as a dear friend. I love him. I truly love him. I respect him. But let's face it, I don't love him because he's the best looking. I don't love him because he's the most intelligent. And I sure don't love him because he's got the best personality around. That wasn't too bad, was it, brother? Okay.
Probably going to get worse.
But I love him because he's a brother, he's a friend, and because the Bible says I have to love one another as Jesus loves me. I don't do that most of the time. I want to serve God. I want to bring glory to God. I want to exalt God. But then some people just get under my skin and I don't love them. In fact, sometimes I don't even like them. So how can I bring glory to God unless I have a biblical, scriptural, spiritual love one for another? Biblical love doesn't use other people. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. And you're right, it's not going to get better. Most of you know, I think all of you know, that I'm heavily involved in printing. Sometimes money gets a little short. You know, we have a lot, God has blessed us. We've got a lot of churches that support us and we're thankful for that. But sometimes money gets a little tight anyway. Now, Brother Jerry, being the good friend that he is, and he's only got two friends, and I'm one of his. And let me stop. And I said I'm not going to preach this year. I'm just going to talk from my heart a little bit. This church, Faith Baptist Church in Paducah, and her pastor, Brother Jerry Asbury, and Brother Eugene Clark before him, have a heart of gold the size of Texas. Anybody that knows this church knows this church has got a heart of gold bigger than any church I've ever seen. In talking to Brother Jerry, all I have to do is say, Brother Jerry, I desperately need money. And I'll guarantee you, he'll present it to the church and they'll send an offering next Sunday. Guarantee you. Because we're friends. He would do that for a friend. He would do it for an enemy. I wouldn't. He would. But you know what? A couple times he's told me. He said, I'm going to talk to the church. We're going to send you an offering. And I told you I'm crazy. But I've said, please don't. Don't. You are crazy. He wants to send you money and you're telling him don't? Yes, because I love him. And I know my flesh. Instead of saying, hey, I'm out of money, what can I cut back? What can I rearrange? How can I do without? How can I just, not buy everything I want? Instead of doing that, I know I've got a good friend who would send me whatever I need. If I'm not careful, instead of loving him because I love him, I begin to love him because I can manipulate him. That's not biblical love. That's not spiritual love. When we're talking on the phone, instead of talking to him as a friend, I'm thinking, how can I get this conversation turned around so I can tell him I need another 10,000? You said it would mess up on my tie. I said, that doesn't happen. Folks, in my past, I've done it. Not with Brother Jerry, but with others. And I get calls every week from people that wouldn't spit on me until they want something. They don't love me. That's not biblical love. That's not spiritual love. That's manipulation. That's what the world does. The world says, I will love you as long as I can get something from you. But the moment I can't get anything from you, our friendship is over. Folks, I don't want to be that kind of a friend. I don't want to love Brother Jerry because he's got a heart of gold. I don't want to love this church because this church has given more money to missions than any church on the face of the earth that I know of. This church has given money to missionaries all over the world. And they're very generous. But when I call Brother Jerry on the phone to talk to him, I don't even want to be thinking, I sure hope he sends me another 10 grand. I don't even want that thought in my mind. Now, maybe you're more spiritual and you wouldn't think that. But I do if I'm not guarded. I begin thinking, how can I manipulate the situation? You know, if I play my cards just right, Brother Jerry's good for 10,000 easy if I play my card. The moment I even think that thought, I've stopped doing what I'm doing for the glory of God. And now it becomes a matter of, am I better than him? Can I manipulate him? It's not love. Now, I said I'm crazy. I'm not stupid. If Brother Jerry sends me a check next week and says, you know, we prayed about it, God definitely, absolutely told us to send you a check for $100,000, I'm going to cash it. I said, I'm crazy, not stupid. But I wanted him to do it, not because we're friends, not because I manipulated him, but because God told him to. Then it's for the glory of God. I recently got into a home-based business because Brother Jerry didn't send me that $10,000 I needed. So I had to, I looked at a dozen companies. One company had a fantastic compensation plan. I mean, they had a great compensation plan. I talked to some of the uppity-ups in the company, and in talking to them, it was all about money. Money, money, money. How you can make money. How you can make more money. How you can make more money than more money. And I backed away and I said, I don't want to get into that business. Because I'm human. I get in there and all of these guys are talking money. Pretty soon, all I'm thinking is money. And I forgot all about the glory of God. So I went with another company, and I'm not even going to tell you what it is. The compensation package ain't nearly as good as the first one. But everything I read from the home office was, you focus on helping people, the money will come. But their priority is not money. It's You go out, forget the money. You go out to help others. And you won't become a millionaire like the first company. But you'll make enough. God will take care of you that, you know, you can pick up some extra money on the side. Moving quickly on, a lack of biblical love. Many times, y'all have never done this, but many times, because I didn't have the right love, I've been guilty of kicking people when they were down. I'm not proud of everything I've done in my life, by no means. But when somebody messes up, I'm more afraid of what others will think than I am of what God will think if I reach down and help a brother, you know, for the honor and glory of God. Many times I've thought, oh, I'd love to help them, but if I do, what will so-and-so think? Amen. Folks, if I'm doing what I'm doing for the glory of God, you either like me as I am, or it's your loss. But a lot of times, because my love wasn't right, I've done or not done things that I really should have done, that God could have been glorified, but I didn't do it because, well, if Brother Hamill finds out, he may not think very much of me, and I value his friendship more than I do the glory of God, and so I've been guilty, and if you're one of those I've kicked when you were down, please forgive me. I'm asking God to help me so that, you know, as much as I love my brethren, I want to glorify God more than I do anything else. And if you don't like me because you don't like my reaching down to somebody that you don't think deserves it, then you've got the problem, not me. I was talking to a man the other day, and he wasn't independent, fundamental, sovereign grace, local church Baptist. But we were talking, and he said, you know, you independents are the only people I know that shoot your own. And I thought, is that how the world looks at us? Please tell me. He wasn't talking about me when he said that. Please tell me that we who have the truth, the world doesn't look at us and think, they don't glorify God, they're too busy shooting their own. And I'm not talking with the 357 Magnum either. You know what I'm saying. When this guy said that, it was just like somebody poured hot grease all over me. Is that glorifying God before the world? When the world looks at us and all they see is that we've shoot our own? Is that glorifying God? I went home and that bothered me. I want to glorify God. And if the world, all they hear from me is how terrible Brother Jerry is, how rotten he is, how obnoxious he is, and if that's what the world hears from me, am I glorifying God? I don't know about y'all. Maybe y'all don't have this problem, but I went home and said, God, forgive me for all those times that I've ran down other brethren. Do I run down brethren because they don't believe just exactly like I believe? I've got 10 minutes. I'm going to try to be done before then. But if my memory serves me correctly, Brother Garner, I've known Brother Garner Smith since college. We went to college together. But if my memory serves me correctly, Brother Garner Smith didn't start out being a Five-Point Baptist. In fact, if I remember, you were off on the Lord's Supper. And I don't even think you were as strong local church as you are today. But you know what? We loved him to the truth.
Amen.
What happened to me? But somewhere along the way, we quit that. And now, you don't believe the Lord's Supper like I do. I can't fellowship with you. I'm asking myself, is that for the glory of God? What would have happened if Elton Wilson had said, Garner Smith, you're not a five-point Calvinist, you're not local church, you're not Lord's Supper, you can't come to Clarksville Baptist College. Where would Garner Smith be today? Probably a lot better off than he is, but... And I picked on Brother Smith because I've known him since I was a little teenager back then. And I could go on with other men that years ago we tolerated each other. We were more concerned with the glory of God than we were, I say we, let me back up, I, than I was whether he believed everything exactly like I do. What happened to me that I changed? Was my change for the glory of God? I don't think so. I find myself occasionally becoming bitter and angry. Why, so-and-so did me wrong 30 years ago, and I'm never going to forgive them. Is that for the glory of God? See, y'all don't struggle with these things, but I do. The more I want to serve God, the more I find anger and just simply lack of love causing me to fall flat. Time won't even permit us to go into lust. Or how many times have I failed to love my wife as Christ loved the church? If I'm committed to doing all whatsoever I do to the glory of God, that means when Paul said we must love our wives as Christ loved the church, does the church always deserve love? No. Does the church always do everything it should do? No. Does my wife always do everything? Absolutely no. But how many times have I yelled at her because I was out of fellowship with God? The problem was me, not her. See, do we really want to glorify God? Oh, and I say this with all of my pride and arrogance. I really want to live for God. More than anything else, I want God to be glorified in me. But the psalmist said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How many times have I tried to serve God with iniquity in my heart? How many times have I failed in my Christian service because of my attitude or my lack of love? Paul said, whether I'm working, playing, preaching, or whatsoever, I'm to do it for the glory of God. Sunday night in our church, I'm preaching a series of messages on the Bible and money. And I challenged our people. We sing a song real often. It's entitled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And one of the verses goes like this. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Here's the tough part. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Amen.
can we say this morning, Lord, I am so full of pride. I am so jealous. I lack true biblical love. But Lord, and I'm not saying I'm praying this. I'm asking, can we pray this? Lord, mold me, do whatever you have to do to make me glorify you. I challenged my church Sunday night. Pray about that. Do we really want to do whatsoever we do for the glory of God? Are we willing for God to mold us and make us so that we conform to the image of His Son? I told you my faults. I bet if you look at yourself honestly, you're not a whole lot better sinner than I am. Brother Jerry. Amen.